بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said of all the azkar children of zikr the repetition of la ilaha illallah is the best and of all the du'as alhamdulillah is the best رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said of all the azkar the repetition of la ilaha illallah is the best and of all the du'as alhamdulillah is the best that la ilaha illallah is the best of all azkar is quite evident. It is described as such in many ahadith. In fact, when the whole of deen depends on this kalima tawheed, there can hardly be any doubt that it is the highest of all azkar. Again, alhamdulillah has been regarded as the best dua, because praising one who is the most benevolent person is in fact a form of begging. It is common experience that by writing an eulogy in praise of a person, of a man of wealth, of authority, does not mean anything else than begging his favors or riches. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says, that one who recites Alhamdulillah should follow it by La ilaha illallah, because in the Holy Quran the verse فَدْعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ is followed by Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises for Allah who is the cherisher of all the universe. Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi has stated, there is not the slightest doubt that Kalima Tayyiba is by far the best and foremost of all azkar, because it is the root and fundamental basis of the deen, and the whole religion of Islam centers around it. It is for this reason that the Sufiya and saints emphasize its importance and prefer it over all other azkar and advise their followers to practice it as much as possible. Also, actual experience has shown that the benefits following from Kalima Tayyiba far outnumber those which result from other forms of zikr. There is a well-known story of Sayyid Ali bin Maymun al-Maghribi. Once Sheikh Ulwan Hamawi, who himself was a great scholar, mufti and teacher of his age, came for learning zikr. The Sayyid Rahmatullahi Ali devoted special attention to him and made him give up all his routines such as teaching and writing fatawa and to take up zikr all the time. On this, the common people started freely indulging in fault finding and condemnation. They started a campaign of criticism that the Shaykh has now been lost to them and the people were being deprived of his benefits. A few days later, when the Sayyid Rahmatullahi Ali came to know the Shaykh Ulwan was occasionally reciting the Holy Quran, he stopped him from this recitation also. At this, the people lost all sense and openly accused the Sayyid Rahmatullahi Ali of irreligiousness and perversion. After some time, when the Shaykh observed that the zikr has had its effect on his heart, the Sayyid Rahmatullahi Ali allowed him to resume recitation of the Holy Quran. When he opened the Quran Sharif, every word and ayat emerged with new meanings and significance he never thought of before. The Sayyid Rahmatullahi Ali then told Shaykh Hamawi that he had not forbidden him from recitation, but in fact he had desired to develop in him spiritual awareness, which was a prerequisite for the recitation of the Quran Sharif. As this Holy Kalima constitutes the fundamental basis of religion and the root of Iman, the greater the devotion to this Kalima, the more firmly will Iman be rooted. Iman depends on this Kalima, and the very existence of this world depends on it. According to a hadith, the day of judgment will not dawn as long as there exists on earth a single man reciting the Kalima La ilaha illallah. This is reported in other ahadith also. So long as there lives a single person on earth who remembers Almighty Allah, Qiyamah will not take place.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Objective of tasawwuf is to establish the proper relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Once the relationship with Allah Ta'ala has been firmly established, everything just flows afterwards. Be it the faraiz, be it the sunan, be it the wajibat, be it the mustahab and adab, then everything just flows. But until one has not connected himself firmly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until and unless that is not done, you will have a hurdle every now and then. Why? Or if the question why doesn't come, then the sluggishness, the laziness, you don't have that enthusiasm, you don't have the drive to do it. Once that link has been established, the association, the connection has been established, is firmly rooted, now one feels uneasy without doing it. But namaz, that nafal, or that mustahab, or that sunnah, no matter how small it may seem to be, but you find it difficult to leave it out. Until and unless you haven't done it, you will feel some type of deficiency. Like we used to eating food, right? And the food will still have all its good if there isn't that spice. The nutrition and the good nourishment that is contained in that food, you will still enjoy it. But you will not find that satisfaction if the spices are not added. The special type of spices that you are used to, if those spices aren't added, you don't find that type of satisfaction, you don't find that type of fulfillment. So, it is not an effort for you to add those spices. In fact, it is an effort to eat the food without the spice. So now to bring yourself to that level where that sunnat is dear to you, like that spice is dear to you, that salt is dear to you, and you cannot possibly take it down without the spice, this effort is made. This effort is made. Now you call it tasawuf, call it tazkiyah, call it islah, whatever name you may call it, mujahada, whatever you may call it, but this is the very essence, this is the very root. Now the first thing that will come into our minds, then how do we get this? See? So in every path, there are two things that are of paramount importance. One is the goal. Now I've shown you what is the goal. Then the second thing that is needed is procedure. One is goal, and the second is procedure. If you got the both, then inshallah you know what you need to do. And if you have missed out one of the two, you don't know the goal, or you don't know the procedure, now you're going to miss out. You're going to start speculating. You're going to start making your own calculations, your own type of conclusions, and you'll put yourself in a big, big confusion. And the reason you'll put yourself into that confusion is either you don't know procedure, or you don't know what is the aim, what is the objective. Someone will think perhaps the objective is to see a good dream. So now if he doesn't see that good dream, he says, well, my whole effort has been wasted. Someone feels, no, it is to enjoy, it is to experience a certain type of a spiritual condition. This person has experienced it, I haven't experienced it, so he's progressed, I haven't progressed. Now you begin to judge your progress through certain things that you have assumed, you have calculated within your mind. So all these are guesswork, it is speculation, it is nothing but assumptions. What? Assumption. You're assuming. There's nothing concrete in it, it's just something that you've assumed. You've worked out yourself, you've thought that it is like this. So the one thing that we need to get straight is we need to understand what is the goal. And after you've understood what is the goal, then what is the procedure? That is now the most important thing to understand. And what is procedure? Inshallah, within the course of this month, we'll explain the whole procedure, inshallah. Procedure, you can't learn this one day. You can't learn business in one day. Can you learn business in one day? You can't learn business. Teach someone driving, a small simple thing like driving, it takes you a good couple of months before you can become an experienced driver. So you can't learn that driving. You can't go behind the wheel just in one day. But anyway, the more important things in the procedure, let us speak about that, so that from the beginning you are on a right footing. So the important thing that you need to know about procedure is, see, one is the goal, right? You're traveling to Johannesburg, so that's the goal, right? So you got in your mind that I have to take that road that will lead me to Johannesburg, right? Now, that is the first thing that you need. And the second thing that you need is to keep your focus on the road. One is to keep in mind that I'm traveling to this point. And the second thing that is needed is focus on your work. Like the person that is driving, he's focusing on his work. His work is to drive and drive safely. So he's focused on that. Allah Ta'ala willing, if he does both, he'll have a enjoyable, safe journey. So the same is required here. One is the goal, and now focus on your work. Just focus, just remain focused. You'll find someone coming, someone going, someone saying something, whatever. All that must be secondary to us. Whoever is saying whatever, we just remain focused on our work. What is our work? Now we need to first try and find out what is our work. Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib, just want to show you what you mean by work. See, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah used to say that my du'as and my tawajjuh is greatest towards those people that are remaining within their rooms in the khanqah. There was a khanqah there, and people were given their rooms. So that those people that are dedicated to their work, be it in the masjid or be it in the room, but they're dedicated to the work and they are in the khanqah, then my tawajjuh and my heart is towards them. Now, to explain this further, the same aspect. One friend of my mother, she came home now last week. So she complained that her brother gets the mother's du'as. Mother is now about 88 years of age, but all the du'as goes for this one brother. So the other brothers and sisters complained, Ma, you're making du'a for this son in particular, and you're not making du'a for us like how you're making du'a for him. So he says, what must I do? Just naturally, the du'a just comes out with his name. And the reason why the du'a goes for him is, he is the most loyal, most obedient, most attentive, most kind towards his mother. And he's showing all the attention, his fikr, wherever he is, if he's abroad or he's at home, but his attention is towards his mother, then obviously the dua will just flow naturally for that person. The others, dua will be made, but you will need an effort to make the dua for that person. But when the mother is seeing, now this person is so loyal, he's so kind, he's so willing to serve me, he's so considerate towards me, so what will be the nature of the dua? The nature of the dua will be, it's just flowing. It's natural, it is flowing, it is coming out. And the other person that requests the dua, you will make the dua, but the dua will be like a formality. He requested a dua, so I made the dua for him. And this person, his dua will be just natural. So the dua comes when that person is focused. And everybody wants that. You see, we want attention. Now we go to our homes, so you want that focus from the wife, right? Now, if you come home and the wife is listening to some radio, even it's an Islamic radio, or she's reading some book, right? Or she's doing something else. She's reading a lengthy nafil namaz. Lengthy nafil namaz. She's in sajda and 3 minutes are going. and you've come home from a tired day. Now, how do you feel towards that wife? She's doing what she's doing is right. But how do you feel towards her? Now it's my time. Now pay attention to me. Give me some attention. Give me some type of dhyan, some type of tawajjuh. So that wife that is showing that tawajjuh, showing that dhyan towards the husband, she gets the favor. The same person that is in your shop, in your business, and he's focused to your work, to your mansha. He knows what is your desire, what you are requiring from him, but he's focused to that. So he gets your favor, he gets your happiness, and he gets the recompense that you will give. The best type of recompense, you will give it to him. So in short, in essence, what is needed is that tawajjuh, that focus. Just remain focused. That focus must not turn away. And the focus towards what is desired. What is desired? That all of us know what is desired. We got a program for ourselves. Quran Sharif, Zikr, Tilawat, Dua. And the ta'lim of the Shaykh. What ta'lim is given, now you think about it. What's been taught to us. Make a small note of it. What is he desiring from us? What is required of us? So all that shows that you are focused. All that shows that you've got fikr. You have come here with fikr. You have come here with earnest. You have come here with some type of concern. See, that concern. That concern is the main thing. The woman is performing that namaz, but the husband is not happy with her. Right? She's fasting, but the husband is not happy with her. Tell me, will she get the attention of the husband? Will she get the love of the husband? She's performing namaz, but she's not getting the attention of the husband. She's making that roza, but she's not getting the attention of the husband. Right? What is required of her is to comply with his desire. Whatever his mansha is at that time, comply with that. Remain focused on that. To the extent of your focus, to the attention, to the extent that you're going to remain in that direction, you'll find his attention flowing towards you. Or is this natural? It's flowing. So this is what is required primarily, that we remain focused. And I told you what is meant by remaining focused. Whether it's our wife, give an example. Whether it's a person working in your shop. Whether it's a person that's in your class, and ustad is teaching. Right? Now one child is in the class, but he's making zikr, making durood sharif. What will the ustad say? Now if the child turns around and says, you know how much fazilat there is for zikr. I'm making zikr, I'm making durood sharif. And you're scolding me, you're reprimanding me for this. Whereas what you're teaching is just Arabic grammar. Fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu. Nowhere the name of Allah Ta'ala comes. Nowhere the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes. And you're laying so much of emphasis on that. See? So what will you say to that student? That you're missing the mark. You don't understand this. And I think you should move away somewhere else. Right? So that teacher also needs that type of focus. Though he's teaching fa'ala, he may be teaching mathematics, but now you take the tasbih and read it in his presence, it will definitely annoy him. Now you turn around and say, I'm taking the name of Allah Ta'ala, wa la zikrullahi akbar, and you are scolding me about that. Over that you are scolding me. So this is what is required, that focus, all the time. What is wanted of me? I'm here in that stay, in this. If you have got that focus, then that focus will tell you what to do at that moment. That focus, that fikr, that concern that you have, it will tell you whether you're in the shop. Even in the khanqa now, you're coming optional, for example, now you're doing your business. Or you're going to madrasa, you're supervising, right? But your focus, your concern will tell you, all right, I'm doing my supervision, I'm in the madrasa, but what is expected of me? How must I spend my time? What should be my concern? So your focus is there. That is why Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi used to advise many people that would request him that we wish to come and settle in Makkah Mukarrama. As Hadith Abraham used to say, in my opinion, it's better that you remain in India and your heart is focused in Makkah Mukarrama, then you come into Makkah Mukarrama and your heart is focused in India. Now you're in India, but your heart is a Makkah, Kaaba Sharif, and had I been there only. And the other way around, now you come to Makkah Mukarrama, but you're thinking, what I left behind in India, my business, my property, what's happening there, and that is a season, leechy season, let's hope the crop comes right, and I have left my cattle and my sheep and my goats and my chicken there, let's hope they don't neglect it, all get wiped out, and let's hope the stray dogs, you know, that killed a couple of my chickens. Now in the dream you'll begin to see now those chickens and some dogs are coming and attacking. So you think to yourself, you know what, Haram Sharif ka khab hai, there's a dream I had in the Haram Sharif, must be true dream. Because where the dream came? In the Kaaba Sharif, whilst you were sleeping. Maybe in the Haram Sharif you were sleeping, near the Kaaba Sharif. You were sleeping, you just dozed off, saw a chicken, and something attacked it. Something must have happened, something went wrong. So, Hadith of Rahmah used to say that, in my opinion, it's better that you remain in India, but keep your focus in the Kaaba Sharif, than you coming to the Kaaba Sharif, migrating, settling here in Makkah Mukarrama, and your heart is stuck up in India. So the same will apply to us, that wherever we are, our business, our profession, our madrasa, whatever, but now focus, what is the mansha, what is required, what is wanted of us. Like you are, for example, now, give another example, so with this example, these things become clear. You are preparing for your final exam, it's an important paper. You are traveling and coming, for example, from Sherwood, you are coming to Spingo, right, to write your final exams. Main paper, Bukhari Sharif, in important paper you're writing. Now tell me, what will be the focus of the mind? What will be the frame of the mind? You know what will be the frame of the mind? One student, some students are very poor, no food at all at home, nothing at home. So they asked him, what is 2 plus 2? He said, 2 plus 2 is 4 loaves of bread. Now he answered that. Why? Why he answered in that way? Because in his mind was only food, food, food. So he's supposed to say just 4. But because that thing is in his mind, that what was in his mind just flowed out of his tongue. So similarly, now you are driving, you are the robot, now you're thinking to yourself, we're the robot now, you're in Bukhari Sharif, in the first volume, this is the question about namaz, things that will nullify namaz, for example, things that are wajib in Roza, for example, right? What the discussions about iman, what weakens the iman now? You're the robot, but you're, your mind is there in the examination. Your mind is there on the paper. So the same, the focus must be at the morning, at night, going to sleep, getting up. Focus must be just one. What is required of me at this moment? What is required? What am I supposed to be doing? Where am I supposed to be? At any given time, whether you're in the toilet, even in the toilet, now that focus is still there. You only see how that person that is preparing for exams. Say, now, let me think now, I worked out the code for that question, you know. That question about, that question that relates to eating, for example, you know, eating, what foods are permissible. So there is some code that I worked out, right? Now what is that code and what it stands for? Now you, in the toilet also, but your mind is, you're eating, but your mind is there. You're sitting, you're lying down, but your mind is there. So this is that focus that is needed. And the more you have that type of focus, you'll find that you're seeing some light. But the moment you drift away from that focus, right? Now you're sitting here. For example, I just want to show you, right? You're sitting here. You're planning, I'm going to go for Umrah, and I'm going to go for Hajj. So now, which travel agent I must go to? And what must, you know, where I'll get the best prices? And how must I get my visas with all these sahuk problems that are going on? How must I get my... So someone tells you, by you're losing focus. And you say, but you know what, I'm going for Hajj. Hajj is so much of sawab. What will you tell him? But you lost your focus. Your mind is somewhere else. So you try your best not to lose that focus. Whether you're in the kitchen, someone is discussing it, then you're moving away. Just my focus, what I came for, and let me be focused to that. Nothing else. No compromise in that, nothing else. Oh, I see now, hey, he's got a, Rawat got a good kurta. Rawat, now where you saw that kurta, I need to get some kurta like this. Focus is moved away. Or how do you tie the turban in this way now? The whole namaz, you think, hey, I must ask Ilyas how he ties the turban, he's looking smart. So now that whole attention is gone towards it. So when that attention moves away, then you must understand that you're going backwards. Now in namaz also, that same attention, that same focus. You'll find conflicting thoughts are coming, but you don't worry, don't fight with that conflicting thoughts. Don't go and clash and don't go and confront those conflicting thoughts. You see, thoughts are such, it's like a current, like a life current. Whether you hold it or whether you try and expel it, it will get you, right? It's there, you try and push it away, won't it get you? Or you try to pull it towards you, won't it get you? Whether you pull it towards you or you try and push it away, both ways it's going to get you. So the right way is just forget and just carry on. So leave your thoughts and just remain focused. So this is the most important thing in this whole exercise, in this whole stay here, that focus. And anything that will distract you from that focus, just leave it. Talking, whatever it is, it will distract you from the focus. I came for this one work. And Allah Ta'ala willing, this work must be accomplished. I will try. I will have my hopes in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And I will long for this to work out. And it mustn't be just an empty hope, but we are trying. And we're trying to find out what is the mansha, what is desired, what is expected of us. And then we're working accordingly. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare. For a few minutes we can make some zikr and istighfar, right? This month, these are things that are required. La ilaha illa, astaghfirullah. And in a dua, whenever we're making dua, then asaluka al-jannah, wa awza bika min nar. Request jannat and ask Allah Ta'ala's protection against the fire. So there's two things we do. Istighfar and la ilaha illallah.